Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for our daily magazine show, As It Is, and other programs designed for English learners.
Hello, and welcome to As It Is, a free, daily 30-minute program designed to help you learn everyday American English. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz at the Voice of America in Washington. Today on the program, we report on the life of some of the tens of thousands of refugees who are returning to Afghanistan from Pakistan. They are suffering because they have no jobs, no support, and no place to live.
So this has caused a major strain on the resources of the government and IOM to provide assistance to these people.
And we will tell you about a man who has spent the past 10 years collecting more than a million secrets from people around the world. We asked him why he did it.
I was struggling with secrets in my own life.
Then you will hear Jonathan Evans' weekly technology report. This week, he tells us about a device that will gather data about building interiors. It will give architects, engineers, and building supervisors information that once took weeks to measure and process.
The backpack is something you can wear which has a lot of sensors on the back, which can then walk through a building and detect the geometry, the lights, the plug load, and once you take it out, you can create a 3D model.
And later, as always, we will present the making of a nation. We're on the radio, on the web, and we come to you on a podcast. We are wherever you are. We're the Voice of America. Many of the tens of thousands of people returning to Afghanistan from Pakistan have no jobs, no support, and no home. International aid agencies say they and the government are unable to help many of them. Hadisa is one of those who has returned, along with her family. She is 14 years old, but she appears older. She cares for her mother, who is ill, and for her younger brother. He is abused at the place where he works. Her father and other family members together earn less than $40 a month. They must pay half of that to the owner of the house in which they live.
We only eat bread with tea and pay rent. We cannot afford anything else.
Hadisa is one of more than 70,000 refugees who have returned to Afghanistan this year from Pakistan. Her mother says she does not know how they will survive.
Because of migration, our life has gone from bad to worse. In Pakistan, we were in trouble due to a lack of legal documents. Here, we have no money.
Pakistan began taking action against undocumented Afghan refugees after an attack on a school in which 150 people were killed, most of them children. Matthew Graydon works at the International Organization of Migration. He says aid agencies and the Afghan government were not prepared for the large increase in the number of people returning to the country.
So this has caused a major strain on the resources of the government and IOM to provide assistance to these people.
Many of the families that have returned to Afghanistan had been living in Pakistan for many years. Some of the children in those families were born in Pakistan. They have never been to Afghanistan. The families return to communities where they often do not know many people. Many arrive with just the clothes they are wearing. The lack of funding means only those most in need are given help by the government or aid agencies. The rest, like the family VOA spoke with, must find food and shelter by themselves. For the refugee family we spoke with, life in Pakistan was difficult. But it is much worse in Afghanistan, and they do not believe it will change. Some people collect postage stamps, the small pieces of paper you place on letters or postcards before mailing them. Other people collect works of art, antiques, or musical instruments. But a man in the American state of Maryland collects secrets. For the past 10 years, people from throughout the world have been sending Frank Warren postcards and other objects with secrets written on them. He now has a million secrets.
Is a drawing of an elevator, and the secret says, "I feel guilty when I take elevators for one floor, so I limp when I get out."
Mr. Warren lives in Germantown, Maryland, near Washington, D.C. 10 years ago, he created an art project he calls Post Secret.
I invited strangers from all around the world to write down their deepest confession on a postcard, something they'd never told anyone else before, but something that was true. And I asked them to mail it to my home anonymously.
People send him postcards, other objects, and emails telling their secrets. Every Sunday, he chooses 10 secrets and puts them on the Post Secret website, postsecret.com.
The way I choose to see it is someone is finally finding the strength and courage to make their heart vulnerable.
Mr. Warren says he created Post Secret so people would have a safe place in which to share their secrets.
I was struggling with secrets in my own life, and it was by creating this safe place where others could share their secrets with me without judgment, anonymously. I think that space was something I needed just as much as they did.
He has published 6 books full of the secrets people have shared with him. 1 secret in each book is his. The project itself was once one of Mr. Warren's secrets. His wife, Jan, did not know exactly what he was doing until the first book was published.
The publisher actually called me and told me that the address was going to be on the book. And I said, "No, it's not." And she said, "Yes, it is. It's in the contract." And I said, "No, it's not." I mean, I wasn't very happy at all about that.
Some people tell Frank Warren of their secret desire to kill themselves. So he and the Post Secret community have raised more than $1 million to help prevent suicides. Now, our weekly look at the latest technology news. Architects, engineers, and building supervisors will soon be able to quickly collect information that once took weeks to measure and process. Scientists have developed a device to gather information about building interiors, the design and exact measurements of a building. The scientists are with the University of California, Berkeley. Their invention connects to a backpack. The device requires only one pass through a building to create a three-dimensional or 3D model of the structure. In other words, the model shows an object's height, width, and depth. The device also is able to collect other valuable information related to the building's energy usage. Our technology correspondent Jonathan Evans has more on this invention.
An older building may need a new, more efficient heating and cooling system. Experts say the first thing you need to know is the exact shape of all rooms in the building. You have to consider the size and position of heating and cooling equipment, windows, and doors. Another consideration is the placement of electrical outlets, the areas where electrically operated equipment can be connected to the power supply. Annie Marston is with Bauman Consulting, the business that developed the new device. She says that instead of using a team of experts with laptop computers and other devices, it will soon be possible to send only one person with a space-age backpack.
The backpack is something you can wear which has a lot of sensors on the back, which can then walk through a building and detect the geometry, the lights, the plug load, and once you take it out, you can create a 3D model, which can show an IR image of the walls and look at the thermal capacity of the building, and then it can be transferred into an energy model, and that energy model can be run and look at how the energy is dispersed within the building, and that's where we can start looking at saving measures and things like that.
Weather experts use a scientific instrument called a barometer to measure pressure in Earth's atmosphere. But the device uses a barometer to estimate height. Instruments called magnetometers act as 3D compasses. They gather information about metallic structures. The University of California scientists say they can create a virtual map with an accuracy of plus or minus 10 centimeters. They say the device uses a mathematical problem to add surfaces to the walls and floors. This can be used for architectural design or to run tests on energy usage. Annie Marston says the device may be very useful to energy testers and engineers, but also to builders and the construction industry. When they are building a new construction, it will be great to have a model of the ducts and the pipes before the walls are closed up, so in later years, you know where everything is, she says. Researchers say they are now working to lower the weight of the backpack from 15 to about 10 kilograms. But the price of the device is about $20,000. Researchers predict the device will be available for loan at a much lower price. I'm Jonathan Evans.
Thanks, Jonathan. That's our program for today. We hope it has informed and entertained you and has helped you learn everyday American English. The Making of a Nation is coming up next. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz, reporting from VOA Learning English Headquarters in Washington.
This is Rich Kleinfeld.
And this is Stan Busby with The Making of a Nation, a VOA special English program about the history of the United States. Today, we continue the story of President John Kennedy.
John Kennedy began his administration in 1961 with great energy to do good things. After just 3 months in office, however, he had to take responsibility for a big failure. On April 17th, Cuban exiles, trained by America's Central Intelligence Agency, invaded Cuba. Their goal was to overthrow Cuba's communist leader, Fidel Castro. Most of the exiles were killed or captured. The last administration had planned the invasion, but Kennedy had approved it. After the incident, some Americans wondered if he had enough experience to lead the nation. Some asked themselves if the 43-year-old Kennedy was too young to be president after all.
Kennedy soon regained some public approval when he visited French leader General Charles de Gaulle. The French were very interested in the new American president. They were even more interested in his beautiful wife. The president said, with a laugh, that he was the man who had come to Paris with Jacqueline Kennedy.
In Vienna, Kennedy met with Soviet leader Nikita Khrushchev. Their relations would always be difficult. Khrushchev did not want to compromise on any issue. He threatened to have the East Germans block all movement into and out of the western part of the city of Berlin. Not long after, the East Germans, with Soviet support, built a wall to separate the eastern and western parts of the city. President Kennedy quickly announced a large increase in the number of American military forces in Germany. He said the United States would not permit freedom to end in Berlin.
About a year later, in October 1962, President Kennedy said the United States had discovered that the Soviets were putting nuclear missiles in Cuba. He took several actions to protest the deployment. One was to send American ships to the area. They were to prevent Soviet ships from taking missile parts and related supplies to the Cuban government. In a speech broadcast on television, Kennedy spoke about the seriousness of the situation.
It shall be the policy of this nation to regard any nuclear missile launched from Cuba against any nation in the Western Hemisphere as an attack by the Soviet Union on the United States.
No fighting broke out between the United States and the Soviet Union because of the Cuban Missile Crisis. The Soviet ships carrying missile parts to Cuba turned back, and President Kennedy promised that the United States would not invade Cuba if the Soviet Union removed its missiles and stopped building new ones there. The two sides did, however, continue their cold war of words and influence. In Asia, the Soviet Union continued to provide military, economic, and technical aid to communist governments. The Kennedy administration fought communism in Vietnam by increasing the number of American military advisors there.
The United States and the Soviet Union did make some progress on arms control, however. In 1963, the two countries reached a major agreement to ban tests of nuclear weapons above ground, underwater, and in space. The treaty did not ban nuclear tests
under the ground. On national issues, President Kennedy supported efforts to guarantee a better life for African Americans. One man who pushed for changes was his younger brother, Robert. Robert Kennedy was Attorney General and head of the Justice Department at that time.
The Justice Department took legal action against Southern states that violated the Voting Rights Acts of 1957 and 1960. The administration also supported a voter registration campaign among African Americans. The campaign helped them to record their names with election officials so they could vote. As Attorney General, Robert Kennedy repeatedly called on National Guard troops to protect black citizens from crowds of angry white citizens. Incidents took place when blacks tried to register to vote and when they tried to attend white schools.
President Kennedy said the situation was causing a moral crisis in America. He decided it was time to propose a new civil rights law. The measure would guarantee equal treatment for blacks in public places and in jobs. It would speed the work of ending racial separation in schools. Kennedy wanted the new legislation badly, but Congress delayed action. It did not pass a broad civil rights bill until 1964, after his presidency.
In November 1963, Kennedy left Washington for the state of Texas. He hoped to help settle a local dispute in his Democratic Party. The dispute might have affected chances for his re-election in 1964. He arrived in the city of Dallas in the late morning of November 22nd. Dallas was known to be a center of opposition to Kennedy, yet many people waited to see him.
A parade of cars traveled through the streets of Dallas. Kennedy and his wife were in the back seat of one. Their car had no top, so everyone could see them easily. Another car, filled with Secret Service security agents, was next to the president's. Suddenly, there were gunshots. Then, many Americans heard this emergency report from television newsman Walter Cronkite.
Here is a bulletin from CBS News. In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas. The first reports say that President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting.
The cars raced to Parkland Memorial Hospital, but doctors there could do little. 30 minutes later, reporters, including Walter Cronkite, broadcast this announcement.
From Dallas, Texas, the flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time.
As the nation mourned, police searched for the person who had killed John Kennedy. They arrested a man named Lee Harvey Oswald. Oswald worked in a building near the place where Kennedy had been shot. People had seen him leave the building after the shooting. He had a gun.
Lee Harvey Oswald was a man with a strange past. He was a former United States Marine. He was also a communist. He had lived for a while in the Soviet Union and had tried to become a Soviet citizen. He worked for a committee that supported the communist government in Cuba. Police questioned Oswald about the death of President Kennedy. He said he did not do it. After 2 days, officials decided to move him to a different jail.
As they did, television cameras recorded the death of Lee Harvey Oswald. Oswald was being led by two police officials. Suddenly, a man stepped in front of them. There was a shot, and Oswald fell to the floor. The gunman was Jack Ruby. He owned an eating and drinking place in Dallas. He said he killed Oswald to prevent the Kennedy family from having to live through a trial.
President Kennedy's body had been returned to Washington. After a state funeral, he was buried in Arlington National Cemetery across the Potomac River. A gas flame burns at his burial place day and night. An official committee was formed to investigate his death. It was headed by the Chief Justice of the United States, Earl Warren, and was known as the Warren Commission. In its report, the Warren Commission said that Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone. It said there was no plot to kill the president.
Many Americans did not accept the report. They believed there was a plot. Some blamed Cuban leader Fidel Castro. Some blamed extremists in America's Central Intelligence Agency. Others blamed organized crime. The truth of what happened to John Kennedy may be what was stated in the Warren Commission report, that Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone. Or, perhaps, the complete truth may never be known.
This program of The Making of a Nation was written by Jerry Watson and produced by Paul Thompson. This is Rich Kleinfeld.
And this is Stan Busby. Join us again next week for another VOA Special English program about the history of the United States.